Hello everybody and welcome to episode 67 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I am, as per usual, your host Chris Lipscomb. I am joined this week by usual co-hosts. That would be editor-in-chief of thesixaxis.com and managing director of Oscar Mike Media, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
All right.
I'd also be joined by editor-in-chief over at screendemon.com, Lewis Gaston. Say hello, Lewis.
Your mum is so fat. She's probably going to die soon.
and finally, we are joined by the man in the street, the everyman, the voice of the people, Kev Adsit. Say hello, Kev.
Konbanwa, minasan.
Probably not the voice of the people so much then, really. Or at least not the English people. Perhaps other people, but there we are.
Right.
So, first, kicking things off, is there really any news? I mean, Lewis has been telling us that there was the rather exciting the new trailer for Dread.
Yeah,
awesome.
I
does look brilliant.
I thought looked awesome, but I have already predicted the sort of the middle act of that film in my head, which is this, right? Yeah. So probably 2/3 of the way through, getting towards the end, sort of just before the climax. So what happens is Mama, who's the bad guy in it, tries to get Dredd addicted to the drug slow-mo that he's trying to combat, which is all this is in the trailer. She tries to get him addicted, and then the rookie, whose name's Anderson or something, is forced to snap him out of it and remind him what it means to be a judge before they go and kill everyone. That is my incredibly cliched prediction for what like about 2/3 of the way through that film is going to be.
Apparently, though, it is very strongly based on a comic. Have you not read that comic?
I haven't read that comic. I don't read Judge Dredd, actually.
Judge Dredd's awesome.
As an excuse for putting lots of slow motion in a film, kind of writing it into the plot is really up there, isn't it?
I know, it is a good excuse.
Yeah, what it does is it makes everything go into bullet time. I mean slow motion.
The fact that they've called the drug slow-mo, it's just so cheeky.
Yeah, you take it in conjunction with this other drug, HD. It's awesome.
I looked up the director the other day because I wasn't, I'm not familiar with their name. And I think it's very comforting to know that he directed 2 episodes of The Bill.
Oh, well, that is good.
There you go then.
It'd be good.
He's got with the CGI and the slow-mo.
He's got But, look, ultimately, Judge...
I can never do that without coming into Emmerdale.
I don't have that problem because I'm not familiar with the Emmerdale theme tune.
But ultimately...
It always goes...
It's also quite easy to go into Casualty from there as well.
That's it.
Yeah. Lewis, I believe what you were doing was the victory tune from Final Fantasy VII.
No, I think Lewis was just doing the intro to the Casualty thing, which goes like...
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
I don't know Final Fantasy, so...
But anyway...
You're listening to the TV theme tune podcast.
I mean, but it's good to know he's on the bill, because ultimately Judge Dredd is about crime, and it means he's got some crime background there, you know?
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
True.
These were the good things that I thought from that trailer, was seeing Judge Dredd not take his mask off.
Yeah, don't want that.
Very important.
To reveal he's Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, God, no. And the way, the very understated way he delivered Judge Dredd's catchphrase.
Yeah.
When he said, I am the law.
Yeah.
I didn't break the law. I am the law.
He could have easily gone, I am the law.
Yeah.
Bitch.
When Stallone gave that line in the camp Judge Dredd film, it was.
Which is
really
kind of good.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome.
I've got a bit of a special place in my heart for that film, even though I know it's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, if you just been.
It is terrible.
But, I mean, what if he'd just been like, I am the law?
Like real, like, 1930s Shakespearean.
Yeah. I
am the law.
law. Or just sort of, like, tried it. Do you think there's, like, outtakes? You can just try it in, like, a variety of accents or anything.
I am the law. No, that didn't work. Let me try again. I am the law. Or am I?
I'm the law, motherfucker.
putting all the emphasis on the just to make the sense sound really odd. I am the law. Law.
Yeah. I am the law. I am the law. I am the law. I am the law. Yeah, all the emphasis is for you. Should we move on?
What about like a double emphasis though?
Let's not move on.
What about like changing it to a question? Like, I am the law?
Nice. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Like tweener, like a teenager one. Like, I am totally the law.
I'm like the law.
Oh, this was.
I am well the law.
I could just watch like 20 minutes of that of just.
Or listen to it in a podcast.
Yeah, just do it in podcast form.
We got 14 more minutes to film before that reaches.
So Judge Dredd looks good. What was the other film you were telling us about, Lewis?
Django Unchained,
which is Del Toro,
Tarantino's new one.
Tarantino's.
With Jamie Foxx and Christoph Waltz.
Cool. What's it about? I haven't heard anything
about
it.
It also looks really good.
It's a Western film, but he's called it a Southern because he doesn't like to call things what they actually are because he's a bit pretentious like that. But yeah, no, it's basically Jamie Foxx, who originally was going to be Will Smith, which would have been shit.
But he could have gone to the Wild Wild West.
When he's rolling.
Jim West.
Forever?
Jim West.
No, you don't want God, that.
Stop
none
it.
Of this. Six gun in this.
Wickety wickety wild wild west.
They could have set it in Miami.
South Beach, bringing the heat.
Or Bel Air.
Or Bel Air, or Philly. He sings the songs about a variety of places, Will Smith. Yeah. Very location-based in his rap.
Not many people know this, but Will Smith actually really wanted to be a geography teacher.
Little known fact there. Just,
I bet he feels like a failure now, doesn't he?
Yeah, he is an abject failure.
I feel we're spending too much time on Will Smith for a film he's not in. Thinking about
no.
it.
Jamie Foxx plays a slave. Christoph Waltz plays a mercenary... who comes and buys Jamie Foxx and then hires him to kill off another Western family. But as you'd expect from a Western from Tarantino, apparently it's full of, obviously, a lot of racism that's supposedly done in an effort to highlight how bad America was back then. Not entirely sure it'll come across that way. So Spike Lee will be having something to say again.
Yes.
At least.
Oh, it'd be awesome if it'd been Will Smith. It's been like... just coming back against the slavers, being like, "I will knock your punk ass down," which is the best bit of the entire. That's the best bit of the entire Men in Black series. They could
and possibly your best ever impression.
Thanks, I think.
And it's also got DiCaprio as like the bad guy who owns the slaves, has a like slave plantation. Not choice, you can plant slaves, but
I was pretty much sold when somebody said it's a Western and it's directed by Tarantino.
Yeah. And it does look really good. The trailer's really good.
Yeah, not, that combination just sounds like a winner to me.
Not
just
often.
Have Tarantino directing Christoph Waltz
around
a Western set. That'd do me.
Just not... literally giving him directions. Just turn left at the end there.
Not often that you see Leonardo DiCaprio as a slave owner. Doesn't come up a lot in roles particularly.
He tries to hide that fact about himself.
He's a very method actor. That's just the problem.
Yeah,
but the trailer's got some cool shots in it, as you'd expect. So yeah, go and watch that.
I do apologize. That was getting dangerously close to slander there.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Until next year, though, is it?
Yeah.
No, December.
Oh, is it December? I thought it was early next year.
Could be wrong. Unlike Monsters University, where the trailer came out yesterday, and you were like, "This is out like June next year," but here.
I've not seen that.
It's really good.
I didn't realize a trailer would be now.
Yeah, it came out yesterday. It's literally like a minute long, and there's four cuts of it. And the difference between the four cuts is there's one line different. There's one line that not Sully. Who's the other one?
Mike Wazowski.
Yeah. There's one line he says, and the only difference is they change that line in each of the four cuts, and that's literally the only difference.
Is it the last line of the trailer?
No, it's the line where he's like in bed and mumbling stuff in his sleep.
Oh, right.
They just change what he mumbles. So
that's
literally the only difference. So they got to release four versions of the trailer. And I, like an idiot, watched all four versions being like, oh, this would be great. It'd just be like I might see something. No, they're all the same. Oh. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Monsters University is about the guys from Monsters, Inc. at university.
How to be monsters.
Yeah, learning how to be scary. That's
Barr. Have you guys seen the Wreck-It Ralph trailer?
Yes, that's fucking awesome.
That looks brilliant.
This looks very good.
I really want to play the arcade game, Fix It Felix.
It's on their website.
Yeah, no, but I want to go play the actual one.
Oh. Is it an actual one?
Yeah, no, it is an actual one. They said there were like 80, there's a picture of it from E3. It was at
E3. Yeah, but it's not a real one. They just made it for the movie, didn't they?
Is it a real one? Because there's a sign on it that says there were like 83 of these cabinets made and we're looking for the others.
Oh, really?
So I don't know. So I don't know if they're just going really in depth with their...
Maybe they made 83 and then scattered them across the known world.
Yeah.
Buried them in the desert somewhere.
So I'm not sure if it's real. They've just got a really weird marketing push, or I'm very confused now.
Yeah, no, they have. I've just looked it up. They have. Apparently, it's a PR stunt.
Oh, it's a PR stunt.
But they made this cabinet, made it look old and grotty, and then stuck a notice to the front of it saying they were looking for the others.
Oh, okay. Kev says maybe there are others. Maybe they're just like. They're going to go to weird arcade shows and have like an actor there selling them. Perhaps that would be some really weird, like alternate reality game or something about the film.
They should. They should definitely make them and make them like in proper arcade cabinets and put them in cinema foyers.
That'd be awesome. Oh, that'd be great. But yeah, Wreck-It Ralph looks brilliant. So just because you're a bad guy, it does not mean you are a bad guy. Yeah.
Oh, that was possibly your best impression ever.
Oh, two on one show. You're on fire, Chris. Yeah. What sport have you swatted up on this week?
There's been a lot of football to watch. I haven't found much time to learn new sports, sadly. I would like to say that I am going to the Olympic archery, though.
Awesome.
I've never been to archery before, so that'd be fun.
Archery's so cool.
It's at Lords. I've never been to Lords before either.
Oh, do a bit of cricket in the intermission.
Talking of archery, my brother Mini Lipscomb is getting
terrible racist.
Yeah.
Hater of women.
Is getting don't be nasty to him. He's got a heart condition.
He's an advocator of domestic violence.
I'm getting him archery lessons for his birthday. Oh, quite cool.
Nice.
But yeah, he
make him dangerous though. In the cotton fields.
Yeah, but he's got a heart condition, so you can probably like just outrun him now, I guess. So
useful in a zombie apocalypse archery as a skill.
I'm quite concerned now that he actually has a serious heart condition, and I'm mocking him.
I don't know if it's that serious, but I would like to say this to him.
He's your brother.
I would like to say this to him. Two things. Firstly, happy birthday. Even though it's his birthday, like in the past, after this comes out, so it's like a post-destination paradox rather than a predestination paradox. And secondly,
I think it's just you wishing your brother a happy birthday.
No, because this is the post-destination bit. Secondly, this will have happened by the time you listen to these words. I'm going to come and I'm going to shout at you for maybe 5 minutes. So on Saturday. So yeah.
Awesome.
That's a thing. That's going to have happened.
So you're going to go and shout at somebody who has a weak heart.
He doesn't have a weak heart. It just means his heart goes too fast, actually, at the minute.
Just elevate his heart rate with shouting.
He has like a super heart, basically.
You want to be careful shouting at him. One punch Lipscomb, knock you the fuck out.
He will. He will knock you the fuck out.
There goes his days of operating heavy machinery.
I've got experience fighting him now. It's fine. Yeah, so that will have happened by the time he listens to this.
Just put him down and fart in his head.
That's why it's a post-destination paradox. Yes, so moving onwards. Peter, would you like to engage us with any video game news?
Oh, there was some news. What did we have recently? The Microsoft leaks.
Oh, Surface. That was a thing.
Oh, yeah, Surface. God, it's all been Microsoft news this week.
Well, all Sony seems to be doing at the minute is apologising a lot.
Yeah.
Seems to be saying sorry very profusely. Like, every couple of days, just another exec is interviewed and says, oh, we're so... Oh, what were we thinking? I'm so sorry for E3. I'm so dreadfully sorry.
So let's cover the leaked document thing first. This is supposedly a spec sheet for the new Xbox.
Yes.
The Xbox 720 or whatever they're going to
No,
call
but the leaked spec sheet calls it the Surface, which we now know is a different thing.
Oh, no, it doesn't. It mentions Surface as something which will work in conjunction with it, which makes sense when you consider the smart glass stuff.
All right.
So, yeah, this leaked spec sheet mentions smart glass and it mentioned Surface, and it talks about the Metro dashboard, and the document is from before we got the Metro dashboard, although everybody knew it was coming. But it talks about dual layer Blu-ray, so 50 gigabyte discs.
Yeah.
Six core processors.
Is this the sheet, or is this the crazy one with like 3D Kinect?
Yeah, it's the big document thing. That's bullshit.
Because there's like a couple of there's like four different leaks or something. It's really fucking confusing. But the crazy 3D Kinect shit is like mental.
Yeah, the Fortaleza, is it?
With
Kinect glasses. They're 3D glasses that augment your reality.
Yeah, so it's basically 3D glasses combined with Kinect. I'm like, that shit sounds crazy.
It does sound really weird. But yeah, there have been several leaks. Some of them can just be basically discounted because they're obvious hoaxes. But I think this document, it's like a 56-page document or something. I think it has some elements of believability, although will probably end up to be fake. But principally because Microsoft had it taken down.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's... Even if it's by chance, it's clearly got something right.
Yeah, I mean, they could have just got it taken down for, like, brand to secure their brand.
Yeah.
They probably got it taken down because they were like, shit, this is much better than what we've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, lower expectations. But, yeah, the fact that Microsoft's lawyers had it taken down hints that there might be something in it that rings true.
I want it to be those Kinect glasses because that's just so crazy. That's like a whole new level of fucking crazy.
Yeah, well, like, there are patents out and all of that shit, isn't there?
But like, cause, like, think, like, when you go to the cinema and it's 3D, like, stuff is coming out the screen at you kind of occasionally. They're like, oh, look, it's coming out the screen. But imagine if the screen is your fucking glasses. That's going to be scary. So, oh, God, it's coming at me from 6 inches away. That's fucking terrifying.
It's not the first time you've said that, is it, Chris?
I was going to say that.
I think those glasses are also supposed to augment your reality, so they sort of put video game characters in your world, which could be quite interesting.
Crazy shit.
So, yeah, but obviously it's all just leaked documents and shit like that, so it's rumours, so let's not pretend they're real. And then the other big Microsoft news was Surface, which they launched on Monday evening.
Yes.
And that was their, I don't know, it's quite confusing. I think it's best to consider it as two separate tablets.
Basically, what if the iPad had a kickstand?
Yeah, it's basically an iPad competitor and a powerful, like, Ultrabook competitor.
Yeah.
But like they're both called the same thing and they both look roughly similar.
Yeah, the snap-on, snap-off keyboard thing is quite cool, though.
Yes, it is. It's very cool. It'll be roughly 3 months before there's one for the iPad.
Yeah. It's like magnets and stuff.
Yeah, and it's the two tablets. One of them runs on Windows RT, so it's like the mobile operating system, which I have absolutely no faith in whatsoever.
Because it's basically... They've basically gone, right, so you can create apps, you can create software for Windows Phone 7 or Windows Phone 8, or which like is gonna be on like one bit of hardware, or Windows RT or Windows 8 RT or Windows 8 normal. Which would you like select to make your software for? You have four options here, and we have fragmented our user base wonderfully.
Well, I imagine it'll be quite easy to cross develop, so it'll be easy to develop for RT and the Windows Phone stuff.
You really hope so.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of fucked otherwise.
I imagine that'll work the same way that iOS development works, where it's basically just upscaling stuff and, you know, just checking boxes.
Yeah.
Chicken boxes, you say?
Chicken boxes, But the one that really interests me is the Pro model, which is slightly heavier, slightly thicker, and much, much more powerful, which basically runs or will run the full version of Windows 8.
Yeah.
And seems to be reasonably powerful, so that you could have like proper programs on it, like Photoshop running.
Yeah, on I mean a that's tablet, that's the main
really cool. Like actual proper Photoshop on a tablet would be amazing.
That's the main thing
I've seen people get excited about.
Well, they demoed it and they showed it. It works with a stylus. So if the digitizer's good and it's nice, accurate stylus, and then you can run full version of Photoshop on it, that will be amazing.
Yeah.
For me, anyway, I don't know. A lot of people probably.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's sort of the end goal for a lot of sort of digital artists, isn't it? Is that like it's a digital surface you can paint directly onto that.
Well, that's what Wacom responds as much as paper. The Cintiq, but it cost like £1,500.
Mm. And it's just a screen.
And that's all it does.
It's a static screen. You can't take it with you.
Yeah.
This is basically like, hey, you can shove like a full touch version of Photoshop in your bag and carry it and go like sketch places on it. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's always been what I've kind of wanted from the iPad, and some of the applications on the iPad are really good, but they're not quite that good.
They're not going to be Photoshop.
No.
So.
So that's fairly exciting. And then from a gaming perspective as well, if it's full version of Windows, then you have to assume that most, if not all, well, all has to be the goal, I suppose. Windows software will work on it. So anything like Steam will work. And if you can get certain games, like can you imagine playing like Civ 5 with a touch interface through Steam?
Mm.
That'd be pretty cool.
Well, I was told someone who thinks, based on like the very limited specs they put out and some speculation things, that it should be able to run Battlefield 3 on like low to mid settings.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
The weird thing in that case is, like, obviously they're not developed for... They're developed for Windows, but not developed for a touch interface. And so if you've got Windows and a touch interface, then a lot of things are just going to go, well, you need to press space or something, you know?
Well, it's got a keyboard, so...
That's true.
Yeah, well, this is with a clip-on cover. And I think it depends also how Microsoft do the touch interface, if they can translate touch to the way a mouse works.
And they're fine,
And that's not easily done. A lot of the remote desktop apps for the iPad, it's quite tricky to do that with.
And not necessarily desirable either. Like, you don't want to have to drag your finger around to move the mouse pointer. Like, you just want to be able to point at stuff.
Mm. But the covers have got trackpads on them, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
I believe
yes.
So that's good. True. That's something, at least.
That's true enough.
And I imagine you'll be able to sync like a Bluetooth mouse to it otherwise.
Yeah, and it has a USB port, so you can...
Yeah. But the main thing I'm excited about is just the, like, magnets. So I'm going to spend, like...
magnets. I've always said that about you.
Spend, like, a good day just fiddling with the magnet stuff on it if I get one. Just be like, clip on, clip off. Clip on, clip off. This is awesome.
That cover does look really cool.
I'll come on the podcast and, well, what have you done with your new Surface, Chris? Like, well, I clip the cover then off and about it, really.
In other Microsoft news, the latest epic rap battle of history is Steve Jobs versus Bill Gates.
That's really good. Awesome. Yeah. It's very, very good.
Are you familiar with epic rap battles of history?
I'm not.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
I ended up going to that rabbit hole for like 20 minutes the other day.
It's a series of YouTube videos where they just pit historical or current figures against each other in a rap battle. And some of them are not great, but some of them are really, really good. Very clever writing. And
Hitler versus Darth Vader is quite good.
Yes.
Well, that's my evening sorted.
And Gandalf versus Dumbledore is pretty good as well.
Yeah.
The latest one is Steve Jobs versus Bill Gates.
Yeah.
And it's rather special.
But it is definitely like a Wikipedia-esque rabbit hole. You can just keep going.
You're like, oh, it was 8 o'clock just now, and now it's 11.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nearly as bad as whatever it was, Peter, that you showed us, the rap battle thing.
Oh, the Don't Flop stuff.
Yeah, Don't Flop had the same effect to me. I lost like half a day to Don't Flop.
Oh, lightweight. I lost like a week to Don't Flop.
No, I mean just like half a day solid.
Just in one sitting.
just sitting there watching Don't Flop. Just like, oh, Jesus. I need to go do... there's more.
No, I watched Don't Flop every day until there was no more Don't Flop to watch.
Oh,
I'm not familiar with Don't Flop, but...
It's, It's rap battles. It's awesome. It's proper rap battles, not like epic rap battles of history where it's just.
I think I prefer the fictional ones.
But the oh no, it's very funny. Look for Mark something, isn't it?
Mark Grist.
Mark Grist is incredible on it. We have talked about it on the podcast before. But yeah, Mark Grist is absolutely incredible.
He's an English teacher and a performance poet, but he did a few rap battles.
Nice. And he fucking
good. Just he killed
destroys,
it completely.
Yeah.
And is he the long haired guy?
No,
he's the other guy.
No, he's very short. He's short hair. And he like always wears like a suit and stuff. And the last verse, like, because it's like three verses, I think, isn't it? They get like back and forth.
Usually, you get three rounds.
Yeah, and the third one of his third rounds was like everything had the same letter in it or something. Yeah,
he only used words with the vowel O in it.
Yeah, that was it.
Amazing! What a skill to own.
And just it fucking devastates with it as well. It's just amazing.
And he's on Twitter too. He's a really nice bloke on Twitter.
Well, if you guys shut up, I'm trying to watch it. okay, this is a 15-minute video. It should
Monty Gristo.
Nice.
That's an awesome name. That's well thought out. Any other news we'd like to cover?
I don't think so. I don't think anything's really happened this week.
All right then, Peter.
That's me.
Are you prepared to get angry?
Oh, because you're gonna ask me about that game, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, actually, because I can't type and ask you about Stealth Battalion because that's what the show notes say. No, could you tell us about Connect and Steel Battalion and your rage might be the right... I don't know if that's a strong enough word.
I don't know. I emailed you when I was halfway through.
Oh, Jesus, that email is amazing. I want to find that email and read it out. Wait, I see. The title to that email is Steel Bollocks.
It just doesn't work. And you can see what it's trying to do, and you can even see that Connect is kind of working in the top corner because it tracks your skeleton, and it always has that little overlay where it shows that it knows where your hands are and that sort of stuff. And it works just as well as any other Connect game works. But the actual game is so infuriating. I spent about 3 hours, 3.5 hours just thinking, like, why isn't this working? What am I doing wrong here? And you'd get into a mission, and you'd have... So it controls with a traditional controller for movement and for firing your weapons, but you are inside a cabin of a big mech, like a tank, but it's a bipedal tank, and everything in the cabin is controlled with Kinect. So there are things like you have to reach forward to close a shutter over you've got a tiny little viewport window, and you can reach over and close a shutter on that if the glass gets blown out and it stops you from getting shot with a bullet.
Yeah, and like, but you have to lean forward to like zoom in or something.
Yeah, you have to push both hands forward to zoom in on that viewport when you're moving so you can actually see where you're going. But the handles for things, because it's Kinect, so you sort of have these hovering hands on the screen and you move them to where you want, and then they kind of stick to a glowing piece of the cabin, and then you move in whatever direction you're supposed to move in, and it performs that action in theory. In practice, what happens is you move over to what you want to be moving, and it doesn't sense where you are, and it doesn't stick, and then it'll stick to the wrong thing, and then you'll move your hand to try and get away from the wrong thing, and it'll open a different panel. So then you've got to close that, and it is so infuriating. None of it ever works in the right way, to the point where it basically breaks the game. The game doesn't really function as it's supposed to. So it was my first ever and TSA's first ever 1 out of 10.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which basically means that you have...
The game is broken.
One out of 10 means it didn't hard lock the console when you put it in.
Which is the best thing you can say for it.
Yeah. One out of 10, as I was talking to Davs about this once, and we kind of agreed, 1 out of 10 is like, you didn't just send me cheese. Like... This is
in fact, probably would have preferred a nice wheel of cheese.
Yeah. Be like, no, this is on like digital media. I can actually put it into the disk drive and it does actually load.
It is absolutely horrendous. About the best thing that you could use that disk for is setting your coffee on.
I've heard similar things.
Well, this is it. I had all this, like, I spent like 3.5 hours trying to do it and it wasn't working. And then I moved the whole Kinect setup and the console and everything into a different room and tried it there. And then I even tried changing my t-shirt in case that was maybe affecting. I tried different lighting levels and different situations. I tried sitting in different chairs, thinking maybe like the arms of the chair I was in wasn't working. So I went and got a chair from the kitchen and sat on that.
Even if that had solved the problem, it'd be pretty shit. It'd be like, in order to play this game, you need to be wearing a white t-shirt, have a low slung armchair. The room needs to be exactly so many, whatever you measure light in.
Lumens.
Yeah.
That's the one.
But because Kinect can be a little bit sensitive about things like that, I kind of thought, well, maybe it's just whatever way my room is, Kinect just doesn't like it, or this game just doesn't like the room setup. So I thought I'd better try these things before I condemn it to a terrible review. But as it turns out, no, the game's just fucked. So yeah, I spent like 3.5 hours doing that, and then I moved it and set it up and spent like another 2 hours trying to play it in various different situations, and it's just, it's not worth, it's, I don't know, the thought that some poor unsuspecting person, I think it's an 18 certificate, so at least hopefully it won't be a child, but somebody will go into a shop and spend money on this. That thought actually horrifies me, that they have the gall to release something that's this broken and is this offensive to customers.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Right, I would now like to actually read out the email Peter sent me. And the best thing about this means that forevermore, in my Gmail autofill, Steel Bollocks exists as an option. So, this is literally it, word for word. This steel battalion piece of shit is totally broken. Totally broken. Totally fucking broken. Completely. I'm not even exaggerating. I struggled for over 3 hours in total and it just doesn't ever completely work. I want to kick it in the mind. I'm going to get dinner and I'll probably get time for another quick go before football if my rage can handle it. Completely fucking fucked in its fuckhole. Rage face.
Yes.
So you did enjoy it then?
Yeah, that was. I was actually. I'm relieved that that's more restrained than I thought it would be.
Such a good email, though. I was just sitting there at work, and I was like, just looking at my inbox. I was like, "Yep, steel bollocks."
It is absolutely dreadful, though. And you know, the best thing is they're sending me a second copy of it.
Oh yes, that's what you want.
Give it away in the competition. See how many entries you get.
Even for free. Even though they send it to me for free, it is the worst thing I've ever played. Absolutely terrible. So just avoid it. The terrible thing is that there might be a game in there underneath all the broken control systems. It looks like it might be a sort of a decent mech tank kind of game. And it's quite difficult in places. And it just, you know, it could be fun only for the fact that the way you interact with it is broken. So yeah, avoid. Yeah.
Do not play that game. It is a bad game.
I toyed with opening the review with don't buy this game. Mm. And I thought maybe that's a little bit much.
People may only just read that line.
Yeah.
Probably the only bit you really need to read, though.
Yeah. As it was, I opened the review with Steel Battalion Heavy Armor does not work.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Which is mildly more forgiving.
Yeah. Mildly, yeah. It's terrible.
Which also could have just stopped at that point.
Pretty much. It did, actually. The first draft of the review stopped after about 3 paragraphs and just said, basically, we have to stop here because there's nothing. It's not worth me explaining what's wrong. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. Do not play it.
Yeah. Awful. And it previewed quite well.
Yeah. It's weird. I don't know how they broke the Kinect code between preview and now.
Yeah. And it got a remarkably good score in the official Xbox magazine.
Hmm, surprising.
Suspiciously good, you might say.
It got 7.5.
A more cynical man might say, no, don't worry about it.
Oh, look, a game for Kinect. Hmm, I wonder how this will rate.
It got 7.5 in the American version of official Jesus. Xbox magazine. And it got 7 in the UK version.
Jesus.
I don't know. I think Edge gave it a 6.
The lowest I've seen apart from ours was like Joystick gave it a 4.
Yeah, Giant Bomb gave it 1 star and Polygon gave it 1 out of 10 as well.
Giant Bomb's quick look of it opens with, "I hate Steel Battalion." The first word spoken in that review, in the quick look video they did, was, "I hate Steel Battalion."
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, moving on to the things that hopefully aren't terrible. Kev, you would like to talk to us about The Raid, which looks like a completely overblown action film, but also kind of awesome.
It's really good for a start. I'll give you that off the bat. It's kind of
Do they use bats in it? Is that a weapon in the film?
There may be one bat in it. Weapons tend to be a little more violent in this film than...
Okay.
I mean, yeah, if ever a film has earned an 18 certificate, it's definitely this film. I came out thinking, they should do higher certificates.
18 does not adequately reflect. Yeah, I wouldn't
send my
18-year-old
child to see this. They're not old enough. All right, so yeah, for those not in the know, The Raid is a movie about a tower block which is kind of owned by and run by this ruthless mobster guy who lives in the very top of the tower. And he's got basically an army of killers and thugs and drug dealers in the various levels of the tower. And basically, even the police are kind of unwilling to enter this thing. So it's just laid kind of derelict and corrupt and ever more corrupt as kind of this drug lord guy reigns over this little kingdom that he's made. It's an Indonesian film, so it's all subtitled. If that puts you off, then you are an uncultured swine. Oh,
that makes it a must.
Yes. So basically this team of SWAT guys, like an elite team of 20 guys, infiltrate the building under the cover of darkness in order to get rid of the drug lord guy who lives at the top of the tower. And quite quickly things go south for them, because what starts off as a stealthy mission, suddenly they get seen by one of the lower level, I think it's one like a kid on the lower bit, and then like basically notifies by intercom the whole tower that there's like police in there, and so the tables are turned. It's a heavily martial arts based film.
I mean,
but it's kind of martial arts and stabbing all in one. So it's not just fighting, like it's martial arts.
Martial stabbing.
Yeah, like martial arts with killing, like properly just looking to kill people with martial arts. So it's like kind of punching people up properly quickly, like, but also slicing them in like the legs and stuff. It's brutal. It's quite horrible, but in a lovely way. There's one
Did
bit.
You say it was Indonesian?
I believe so, yes.
They do that sort of knife fighting over there, and they're screamer with the sticks. They're kind of stick fighting as well.
There's one bit where the whole collective cinema sort of went, ooh, and sat back on their chairs, just like, oh God, that would have really hurt. Where
is it when they cut an Achilles tendon?
No, it's sort of similar because a guy gets stabbed in the top of the thigh, sort of with the blade pointing like vertically down the leg, and then like he pulls the blade out down the leg rather than like out. So just sort of opens his thigh, which is quite horrible. But it's like the choreography in it is amazing, and the main character it follows is quite a likable guy, and he's got this backstory that really makes you want him to survive and win. Some of the characters in it, the bad guy characters, are properly scary as well, like just absolute psychos, and you just want them to not find them because the people in it are just so horrible. Just absolute maniacs. I don't know how much I can say really, because it's quite a linear story, but I don't want to give away any of the major points in it because it's mostly fighting. So any of the story that I tell you will be turning points, but it's definitely worth seeing. I mean, I generally don't go and see films that are quite that violent, and I was slightly taken aback, but I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was brilliant. So yeah, The Raid, original title, Serbuan Maut. May have just butchered the Indonesian language, but
and bordered on racism.
Mm. Well, that was the actual title.
See, I would very much like to see that, but I imagine that would be quite a hard sell for my wife.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Actually, I don't know anyone's girlfriend out of the people that I know who wanted to see it. It's definitely one for the boys, it seems. And maybe that's generalizing and incredibly sexist, but I don't know many girls who wanted to see it in my life. So I ended up going with just one boy on a lovely date with my friend Adam.
Oh.
Yes. But yeah, it was good. And there's a nice sense of shared sort of repulsion at what you're seeing in the cinema, which was enjoyable in its own sort of weirdly psychotic way. But yeah, I can't really say any more about it because there are sort of four different plot points and the rest is fighting.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's so over the top.
Sounds like my kind of film.
Have you seen Old Boy?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Are you familiar with the hammer scene from Old Boy?
Yes.
For those of you who aren't, just YouTube hammer scene from Old Boy, and that kind of gives you an idea of the way this film will pan out.
yeah. If you did, you say you've not seen Old Boy?
No.
Get on it.
Okay. I saw it actually on Netflix the other day and thought, oh, maybe I'll.
No, I've not actually seen it either, but I only know this hammer scene because my mate Adam that I went with said, watch this before you go because this will give you an idea of what it might be like. And it really, yeah, it's a good sell.
One of the greatest foreign films. And then it's part of a trilogy. You got Sympathy for Lady Vengeance and I can't remember the other one.
But yeah, yeah. The Raid I would recommend thoroughly if you enjoy seeing people die in horrible manner.
Yes.
Whilst rooting for the protagonist. Who is doing the killing, weirdly enough.
So, yeah. Sticking with them, their film type things. Lewis, tell us about a film you have seen.
Which one?
Whatever.
Tell me which one.
No, you get to pick. What would you like to discuss?
What were the options?
Hugo... The Innkeeper or Something About Dust.
Oh, like Dandelion Dust. Let's go for The Innkeeper.
I'm amazed you can remember
we?
This because the setup thread for this, the email thread that we did for setting up this podcast was all talk about UPS and Rumblows.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything else from it.
Well, it did take me a while to actually pick out the important bits.
I'll go with The Innkeeper, shall we?
All right.
The Innkeepers is a technically it's a horror film, but it's not a horror film. It's more like a ghost story. Hotel is about to be closed for good, and it's on its last weekend. So its two remaining employees are basically there to pardon me, look after. The two guests that they have, and they're amateur ghost hunters. So while they're there, they're going to take the opportunity to sort of study its supposed haunted past. And basically, things don't go as according to plan, as they never do. It's not very scary. It's quite cliched, and it's. Got quite a bit of missed opportunity in it as well because of the setting, you know, a whole hotel, a bit Shining-esque. They could have done a lot more with it. Most of it takes place in the basement. A couple of scary moments, but overall it's not an overly scary film. But the two main characters are quite well sort of developed, so it's watchable because they're believable people. And it's got Kelly McGillis in it.
Off of Top Gun.
Who looks like Jamie Lee Curtis's mother.
No.
It's bizarre. I know, it's been a few years, but geez, love.
No.
It's
one of my formative film relationships when I was 6 or 7, infatuated with Kelly McGillis of Top Gun.
Yeah, you won't be after this film. She doesn't look anything like it at all. Get a picture up of Kelly McGillis nowadays. You'll be surprised. So it's okay. It's worth a watch if you're a fan of horrors or ghost stories. Because if you're a fan, you'll normally find the whole thing better anyway because you like that frame of mind. But other than that, I don't think there's enough there to make it a brilliant film.
Oh, you see, I started a Google search for Kelly McGillis and then got sidelined by Kelly McDonald. I'll do my best to get away from pictures of Kelly MacDonald.
Is your safe search on?
No, of course not.
Whose is?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't realise it was that shocking, the revelation.
But yeah, so she's changed. And the other thing that annoys me is Kelly McGinnis plays, she's one of the guests in the hotel, one of the last guests, and she plays like a actress turned psychic medium. So she becomes the default character to explain the plot and the history behind the hotel, which I find extremely cliche and a bit boring. So that was, there were a couple of good scares down in the basement, but yeah, overall it was a bit average, shall we say.
Mm.
She hasn't worn well, has she?
No, she hasn't at all.
Bless her.
And then if we've got time, I can quickly say that like Dandelion Dust was on Sky Anytime, and I was looking for a film that I'd not seen and that fit the bill, so I just clicked it, and I'll be honest, I based on its name I immediately went, this film's gonna be shit, but it's actually very good. It's got what's his face in it from every film that's ever been made, Barry Pepper, and it's basically about a child that is born to a single mother. His dad's just gone to jail for domestic abuse, so he's given up for adoption straight from birth to a very wealthy family who treat him like their own, you know, love him and never need want for anything. But then when his biological father gets out of jail, he's determined to turn his life around. So it's a whole ethical story about, you know, should this bloke have the right to tear this six-year-old away from his life and blah, blah, blah. So it deals with quite a lot of things.
He's done video game voices as well.
Yes, he did Call of Duty, one of the Call of Duties.
Yeah, he was Alex Mercer in Prototype.
Ah, yes, he was.
So there you
go. He was also, yeah. So yeah, that's a good film. I was quite surprised about that one because I'd not heard of it at all. But it's quite an emotional film, and the little boy in it, I don't even know his name now, but I think he's in real life he was about 9, but he plays a 6-year-old, and he alone sort of makes the whole story of, you know, ripping a child away from its whatever it's known, absolutely heartbreaking, because he's just an absolute phenomenal actor, little actor. Part of me thought they've actually stolen him from his parents and then filmed him, because this is just too real. He was brilliant.
Method acting. You just snatched him one night.
Yeah. So yeah, give that a watch. If you've got Sky, it may still be on Sky anytime. If not, it'll be floating around in a DVD somewhere. DVD bin, probably.
Cool.
But I gave that 4, so yeah.
Excellent. Right, quite quickly, because I think we're running rather long. We wanted to do a short podcast tonight, because we had to record a little bit late due to UPS being dickwads. So yeah, I'm going to talk about The Massive, which is a comic book by Brian Wood that I've talked about a little bit in the past, when, like, it was kind of not the first issue came out. Dark Horse did this weird thing called Dark Horse Presents, which is kind of like a testing ground for stuff. So it's kind of a bunch of short stories, and some of them are for properties that already exist. So, like, the first short story...
Oh, this was the thing with the oil.
Yeah. The series proper has started now. So yeah, the first short story was in the issue that The Massive originally featured was set after the death of Hellboy and was kind of dealing with the impact of that. So sometimes it's new stuff, sometimes it's existing stuff. But the Massive, as I talked about before, is about the search for the ship called The Massive. Largely by its sister ship called the Capital, spelled with a K. It's by Brian Wood, who was the writer behind DMZ and various things. Why the Last Man, I think?
Was no, that no, Brian Wood? Brian K. Vaughan.
He's done lots of stuff, though. He's pretty awesome. DMZ's awesome anyway, regardless. Yeah. He's done a few lesser-known things as well. Recently has been doing Wolverine... comic, which is a bit of an odd thing for him to tackle, given he normally does kind of like these very arty kind of comics, very independent, spirited.
Hasn't he had a run on the X-Men recently after DMZ?
Yeah, he's done a couple of, let me see what he's done recently. He's actually doing the book just titled X-Men at the minute. And he's also, I didn't know he was doing that. He's also doing Ultimate Comics X-Men at the moment. Which is cool. I didn't realize he was on that. I've been reading Ultimate Comics X-Men, and it has got a bit Brian Woody actually thinking about it. So yeah, it would make sense. Everyone's trying to kill each other at the minute. So very Brian Woody. Everyone tries to kill is trying to kill each other, and it seems like there's no hope, which is kind of the definition of a Brian Wood book. So he's done a bunch of stuff like DMZ Northland is meant to be very good. Did a few bits and pieces for Wildstorm in the past, and I just really like his work. I think he's a brilliant creator. So The Massive is his latest thing, published under Dark Horse. So it's about the search for this ship called The Massive in this post-apocalyptic world where kind of the sea levels have risen drastically through a series of seemingly linked but unexplained natural disasters. So it's kind of, that was this year-long thing, there's natural disasters that just slowly wiped out the world's economy and those kind of things, like food resources and all these types of things that just took over the course of it, sort of starts out with like relatively minor things and then just like coasts found where something like a huge chunk of the east coast of Africa or something is just covered in dead fish where the fish have all committed suicide. Very weird stuff like that, but it's instantly intriguing, and you're just kind of want to know what the hell is going on here. But more than that, it's he's not just saying it's an intriguing story, it's also during that first episode it's kind of cutting back and forth during the issue. So half it is kind of setting up this backstory, and the other half is set at the present day for the crew of the Capitol, who are, like I said, the crew hunting the Massive. And it's like them fending off pirates, which is pretty awesome. And it's quite funny to see them going, to see these guys who started out as like a pacifist conservationist group, and just that they're a couple of them like ex-mercenaries, and just kill if they have to, right? And the woman's just like, what the hell? Because she's on this, I forget what her name is, but the she's out there and with the others, of some other crew members who are all very pacifist, and she just like wipes out two Zodiac craft in like pretty instantly. And they're like, what the hell, you killed those guys? And they're like, well, yeah, they would have killed us otherwise. Those were the options. So it's quite interesting to see them take...
It does sound very Brian Wood-like, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, does seem quite interesting to see them coming to terms with those kinds of things in it. But yeah, that is very Brian Wood-like. Just like, despair! All despair! Also, gigantic firefight, which is very Brian Wood.
And sort of very quick...
Yeah,
it's massive events.
Very quick, very massive. Yeah, and it's the same with sort of DMZ, where, like, I've talked about DMZ in the past, but yeah, where the entirety of Manhattan Island is a demilitarized zone between two warring factions in a civil war in the United States, and he doesn't explain what the hell is going on until like the 11th issue, like why they're at war or anything, and it sort of never really gets explained. Just kind of explains building tensions, and you get hints at it, but it's always his books that tend to be about the present a lot and sort of go, well, here's like this, all this stuff happened, but we don't want to go into too much depth about this because here's what's happening now.
Yeah, he kind of gives you this massive like apocalyptical backdrop and then puts smaller stories in front of it.
Yeah, because like they have to deal with this shit at the moment. This is kind of a bigger deal. And then at the end, there's interesting things like there's sort of a couple of pages that's from the captain who's called... begins with I, maybe Isaac? Or something like that. It's something that's similar to Ishmael, but isn't Ishmael. But yeah, so he's... and it's a couple pages from his diary, and then I think a page or two from the National Security Agency on the organization they belong to, which is called like North Force or something, North Current, something like that. And yeah, all about them. And it's very it's a good read, very interesting, very intriguing, and I'll definitely be picking up future issues of it because I'm quite excited by it as a concept. Yeah, so yeah, there's a comic book kit for you.
Cool.
Comics and that. Yes, definitely read that. It is very, very good.
I've just opened up a webpage that has the front cover from one of the books, and it looks like quite an interesting art style as well.
Yeah, I don't know if the inside art style would match what the front cover is, but it's very, I wouldn't say exactly, but it's kind of reminiscent of DMZ style in places.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. I like it. What's the best way to describe it? I was just someone say, another comics podcast too, but they said that, if you have good, if you have good illustration, you don't notice it. You notice great illustration, and you notice crap illustration. The stuff that's just good, you don't really notice, and that's kind of what the art style's like in that a little bit,
mm-hmm.
where it's good and it's solid, but it's not something that you really is sticking in your head for days afterwards.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely worth reading. They're very intriguing. Sadly, we are out of time to talk about what we did because we are running quite long. So shifting ever onwards, Mr. Gaston, would you have a quiz for us?
I haven't made one.
Oh.
I received an email from the Cub of Tough today.
Oh, Jesus. Is this going to be like 1980s Acid Axe or something?
It's a movie quiz. He did say in the email, spot the theme. And I don't want to put any pressure on you, but I guessed the theme before I'd even read the first question.
Is it Transformers?
I wouldn't like to say the man's
that would be my
predictable,
guess.
But so yeah, it's a film quiz from Tough Cub, still 1 to 10.
I can only imagine it's all about Acid House or something.
Just to briefly interject, the Czech Republic are holding Portugal to a 0-0 draw currently. So,
what's the? It's not tonight.
Come on, you Czechs!
Excellent.
Yeah. Obviously, that's old news for you listeners, but you know.
Yes,
I like this football tournament because we get to make all those jokes about all these countries with economic problems bouncing Czechs.
Yeah.
They've played Greece so far. Now they're playing Portugal.
Greece, Germany's not going to be politically charged in any way, is it?
Did I already make my favourite joke of the moment where the winner of the Euros just gets a bailout?
That's how they're deciding it.
That's how I sort of made the Spain-Italy game a lot more exciting. I was annoying my brother by sitting there going, "Oh, loser of this game loses their right to a bailout," and then Spain scored and I was going, "Yes, come on Italy," and then Italy. I was like, "No." Hello, Peseta. okay, 1 to 10.
Yes.
Done.
These are numbers I have.
Okay. Quiz. Number one. Name the actor who undergoes a transformation.
Jesus, that
in
was
the
quick,
David Cronenberg.
It
was, wasn't it? Name the actor who undergoes a transformation in the David Cronenberg insectoid film.
Huh?
No fucking idea.
Really?
Name the actor who undergoes a transformation in the David Cronenberg insectoid film. The clue is in the insectoid bit.
Spell his surname. Oh, well. It's a spoken quiz. It's fine.
Spell it phonetically. You all right?
Yeah. Question two. At the end of Spaceballs, Dark Helmet's spaceship transforms into what? Question three. Name the three vehicles Megatron transforms into over the course of the three Transformers movies.
Jesus.
That's actually really hard.
I know one.
Is Megatron the baddie or the goodie?
Baddie.
Baddie. Goodie only transforms into the truck, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'm just basically asking inane questions to see if it winds up top up when he gets it back.
Oh, I see. Question four. Mogwai transform into gremlins when you do what after what?
I'm guessing by the silence, everyone knows this one.
Yep.
Question five. In Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, what does Devastator have for testicles? Question six. In Moonwalker, Michael Jackson transforms into what and then what?
Portugal have just scored.
Oh.
Cristiano Ronaldo. Games.
Prick.
Spoilers. My app hasn't updated yet.
Question seven. The USA and Russia no longer fight wars. Instead, the battle... As, you know, this is Tough Cub, I would like to point out that there are quite a few typos. question seven. The USA and Russia no longer fight wars. Instead, they battle it out with giant transforming robots. Name the post-apocalyptic movie from 1989.
Oh, this is wrong, but I'll take a punt.
Question 8. At the start of Howl's Moving Castle, what is Sophie transformed into?
Oh, I haven't seen it for ages.
Question 9. During the 1980s, when Transformers were first popular, Tonka launched their own line of transforming toys with Leader 1 being the good guy's leader and Psy-Kill being the baddie's head honcho. They had their own cartoon series and a movie. Named the toy line, and for a bonus point, what happened to them in 91?
What?
I remember them. I don't remember what they were called.
Yeah, I vaguely remember them.
I have no knowledge or recollection of this at all.
It was...
I'm with you, Kev.
They were called something like really stupid and obvious.
Yeah, but it was like... It was the thing that you could convince your mum to buy in Wilkinson's when Transformers were too expensive.
Yeah.
Question 10. Name the only allegedly gay Transformer who was more interested in making sure his fenders were shiny than fighting and who picks up a buff leather jacket wearing American called Raoul. They then investigate a nightclub called the Dancitron, where young men are being drugged. Yes, that really was the plot of a kid's cartoon.
That's weird.
No idea.
Kids, spelt alternatively, KDS.
Nice.
It does. Okay, all done? How many do you think you got?
I've answered seven.
I've got five, but I'm pretty confident of all five.
Wow. Probably three or four, maybe. I don't know. I've answered them all, but...
Okay, number one. Name the actor who undergoes a transformation in the David Cronenberg insectoid film.
Jeff Goldblum.
It is Jeff Goldblum, obviously, the film being Fly. Number two. Definitely. All right.
No, I'm just, it's Tough Cubs quiz. He's not going to like it if you don't get it right.
Sorry. He hasn't actually put that, so I'm just ad-libbing. Okay. Number two. At the end of Spaceballs, Dark Helmet's spaceship transforms into what?
No idea.
I haven't seen Spaceballs, cat.
I know exactly what it transforms into. It transforms into a maid with a vacuum cleaner.
Exactly. Well done, Peter.
They have to switch it from suck to blow.
Number three, name the three vehicles Megatron transformed to over the course of the three Transformers films. Who got all three?
I think I've got all
I put three,
three
things.
Yeah, I've got three answers.
Oh, right, okay. Let's, Kev.
I put...
What three have you got?
Truck, car, and plane.
No, no, and no. Peter.
I've got spaceship, plane, and unicycle.
Nice.
No, well... Okay, plane's right, I suppose, but no.
You said I didn't get any of them, and I put plane.
Yeah, I know, I'm just saying.
Cybertronian jet. Cybertronian flying tank thing. And a Mack truck, I think.
What is a Mack truck?
It's a specific type, like an 18-wheeler truck thing. But I'm not sure if that's
I'm going to have
right.
to give it to Chris, because apparently it's a spiky chrome aircraft.
Cybertronian jet.
A spiky chrome tank.
Yeah.
And a tanker truck.
Oh, a tanker truck.
Which I'm guessing are big, like, 18
so
wheelers.
I said truck and Chris... plane, and you told me I got none of them.
Yeah, but it's the truck I picture is like a pickup.
How you
this
picture
is a tanker.
It is irrelevant.
Well, you need to describe it better. After all, you
all
said
right,
it
truck,
was a
like
word...
Optimus Prime.
Well, it's too late now.
But that's what I meant.
That's
yeah,
too late now. It's just arbitrary. You had to take the points off you.
Yeah.
But
you
had, and anyway, you had Chris to get, got all. Yeah, and anyway, Chris got all three.
You had to get all three. Anyway.
So this is a moot argument. So shut whatever. Up.
Stupid
Tough Cub said acceptable answers for the first two include a pile of shit and shit.
Anything but a gun is wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Number four, Mogwai transform into gremlins when you do what after what?
Feed them after midnight.
After midnight.
Yay. Five, in Transformers Revenge of the Falling, what does Devastator have for testicles?
I put disco balls.
No.
I've written wrecking balls.
Yeah, it's wrecking balls.
It is wrecking balls.
That was a total guess.
I knew it was balls of some kind.
It's wrecking balls. It's awesome. It's fucking stupid
six.
As well.
I like the idea that
I feel like I'm doing
balls.
The... I feel like I'm doing the chart rundown. In at number six, in Moonwalker, Michael Jackson transformed into what, and then what?
I don't know, I've never seen Moonwalker.
I put Jaguar / Puma thing, and then a mech.
See, I put Panther, but I couldn't remember what the other thing was. And
okay,
when I say Panther, it was just like a big cat thing.
Yeah, big cat thing, you're both thinking of the black and white music video.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, then mech, then plane.
Because he turns into a panther at the end of the black and white video after the morphing heads.
Oh, does he?
And then he climbs onto a car and then
yeah,
he turns
no,
back
that
to
is
Michael
what
Jackson
I'm thinking of.
Window smash.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. What did you say, Pete?
I said
Kev?
A mech, then a plane. Like a...
What did you say, Chris?
I've got no fucking idea.
Kev, you get that point. Yes. The answer is a robot and then an aircraft.
Yes.
Or spaceship. So yes, you get that one. Question 7. The USA and Russia no longer fight wars. Instead, they battle it out with giant transforming robots, named the post-apocalyptic movie from 1989.
Real Steel, starring Hugh Jackman. Released last year.
From 1989.
I don't know.
No.
I wrote War Games.
No.
No.
That's about hacking.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's called Robot Jocks, apparently.
All right.
Totally Real Steel, isn't it? Basically.
Two of Tough Cub's favourite things. Question 8.
Jocks,
at the start of How's...
Like what...
No, it's spelled J-O-X.
Right. Oh, okay.
Not what you might put in a strap.
No. Well, I was thinking when I made... Oh,
forget it.
Fine, just forget it. Move
moments
on.
Moments passed.
Number 8. Yeah. At the start of How's Moving Castle, what is Sophie transformed into?
Yeah, I put one answer, then I crossed it out and put a different answer. My initial answer was like pixie fairy thing, and then I've changed it to scarecrow.
Neither are correct.
I have no idea, but I wrote bird.
No.
The correct answer is old woman.
It is an old woman. Well done.
Good movie.
It is good.
Number 9.
Has a moving castle in it.
Is good.
Obvious.
Number 9. During the 1980s, when Transformers were first popular, Tonka launched their own line of transforming toys with a leader one. Being the good guy's leader and Psykill being the baddie's head honcho, they had their own cartoon series and a movie named The Toy Line, and for a bonus point, what happened to them in 91?
I know exactly what you mean, but I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But transforming robot machines.
Nope, the toys were called GoBots.
Yes! Yes!
And in 91, they were bought by Hasbro and are now part of the Transformers.
Yes, of course, it's GoBots.
Number 10, named the only allegedly gay Transformer who was more interested in making sure his fenders were shiny than fighting, and who picks up a buff leather jacket wearing American called Raoul. They then investigate a nightclub called the Dancertron, where young men are being drugged. Yes, that was really the plot of a kid's cartoon.
No idea.
Daisy.
No. The Autobot was called Trax, and apparently, and surprisingly, according to Kafka, Michael Tits and Ass Bay has yet to feature him in his movies. So there you go. Who won?
I got 5.
I only got 4.
I got less.
Victory again! Double victory.
Well,
it's 2 in a row from Chris.
I got 3, just for, you know, those listeners out there who really did want to know how many I scored.
Come on, people, pick it up. Stop the man that is Chris.
He's doing well this season.
Double victory. I'm hoping for like a Halo quiz next week or something.
You're going to write it then?
Are you doing it then? Yeah.
Well, no, I'm hoping you'll all one of you will do it, because then you'll just ask really easy questions.
Yeah, you say that. I'll find the most esoteric Halo facts ever.
Do you think
Chris
I
will
know
probably
them,
know them? That'll only further alienate me and Peter.
Right.
You're right, Chris. Let's have a little rest there.
Just think about
you're just thinking about
just
Halo.
Thinking about Halo, yeah. That's actually what I was doing. So moving swiftly onwards. Apparently, 343 Industries liked a thing I wrote. That was quite nice. Apparently, people pay attention to me, which is weird, though.
Sorry, what were you saying?
You sent me that email. Oh, fuck you. So easy. Such an easy joke. Yeah, no, but Peter did actually send me an email that contained a tweet, which seems like an odd way of relaying information. He sent me an email which quoted a tweet, which linked to the article I wrote, and it was like someone from 343 Industries saying, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about with Halo.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah.
Somebody from 343 just...
Who the fuck is 343?
They look now. After the whole Halo stuff now.
Because right. Bungie don't do it anymore. Bungie are off making Marathon again. And whatever the fuck their other thing's called for Activision. But mostly Marathon. I've got this feeling that whatever they're making for Activision is just to fund them making Marathon.
I think it's going to be a sequel.
What, to Marathon?
Yeah.
Which would be odd, given they're also making a Marathon game, though.
Oh, have they announced that? Is that official?
It was in the contract.
Yes, of course.
They were allowed to make X amount of Marathon stuff. Yeah. Like you can have like 10% of your studio making Marathon, like yes, which I've just kind of suspect that was their aim.
What the fuck is Marathon? What are you people talking about?
I'm with you, Lewis. I've got no idea what's happening.
Stop it! It's a game Bungie made.
I thought we were just
going to
be doing questions. I'm really confused.
You say Marathon, I'm thinking Snickers. I'm like, what's going on?
It's a game Bungie made ages ago, and they've basically been trying to con people into letting them make more of ever since. Halo seems to have been an elaborate con to try and convince Microsoft to fund them making Marathon.
Well, they made Marathon. There's Marathon and Marathon 2, I think. Yeah. They only made 2 of them. But they were very, very early first-person shooters. But they're very highly thought of.
Yeah. Yeah. And but literally, every other step they've taken since, you're just like, you're just trying to make Marathon, aren't you? Just try to like sneak it in the side when no one's noticing. That's just when like whoever's funding them isn't paying too much attention. I was just those guys over there they're not making Marathon. I don't know what you're talking about. They're just over in that corner and just ignore them. Just carry on.
Nothing to see here. Oh, I've just got an email from.
Is it about Marathon?
No, it's about Far Cry 3.
Oh.
Somebody wants to use one of my quotes in the Far Cry 3 trailer. That's nice.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Far Cry 3 largely inspired by Marathon. Well, I think you'll find. Probably not.
Far Cry 3, the sequel to Far Cry 2.
Given that Marathon's a sci-fi shooter.
Far Cry 3, Cry Harder.
Yeah. Right. Moving on.
Cry Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, God, that's a terrible name. What was the fourth one called?
Just 4.0.
It's a good day to die. No, that's the new one.
It was called...
Oh, they're making another Die Hard. Stop making Die Hards.
Die Hard 5,
Die Hard 4,
yeah.
Just called 4.0.
In the UK, yeah, it was, have a... in the America, it had its subtitle.
It was a stupid one as well.
It was...
But the new one's called It's a Good Day to Die Hard.
Oh, Live Free or Die.
Live Free or Die Hard.
Yeah, that was it. Live Free or Die Hard, which it's fucking terrible.
It's the state motto of New Hampshire.
I know, and to be fair, it's a fairly good motto, but just fuck it there, just stick that on. That's a Die Hard pun.
I quite like Die Hard 4.
I haven't seen Die Hard 4, but that pun enrages me so much that
Rotten Tomatoes are 82%.
Isn't Die Hard 4 the one where Bruce Willis jumps on and then subsequently punches an aeroplane?
Yes, a fighter jet.
That's the only bit I've seen in that film, and it's so fucking stupid. What is he doing?
And he also drives a police car off of a non-existent ramp into a helicopter.
He launches a car at a helicopter, which is, you know, pretty up there in terms of action movie stunts. Flew a car at a helicopter.
It's just so I love those films starting off with him being like, yeah, he's just like a regular cop put into extreme situations. Oh, he's punching a jet.
I think Bruce Willis is my favourite.
He jumps off of a bridge onto a fighter jet.
This is the Die Hard movies. The first one he was fighting in a building, and then he was fighting in an airport.
An airport.
And then he was fighting in a city. And then Die Hard 4, he was kind of fighting all over the world.
The internet. Yeah. He was fighting the internet in
so
Die Hard 4.
What are they going to do with 5? Is Die Hard 5 basically going to be Armageddon?
Oh, no, it's going to be in space.
He's just going to go
hard
out
in
and
space.
Punch an asteroid.
Oh.
Die Hard asteroid.
Yeah, it's just Bruce Willis punching meteorites.
Are you suggesting that John McClane is like our asteroid defense system?
I think he might be if the Die Hard movies keep going.
You just allow, you set him any challenge and he can somehow overcome it.
Yeah.
He's in his little space helmet. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Punches an asteroid.
I mean, he overcame people pretending to avenge their brother when they were actually just trying to steal gold. Which was like a weird plot because they just completely ignored the avenging brother thing after. Like, oh, which really, I don't really give a shit about my brother, just the gold. Mostly. So, that.
If you get enough gold, you can buy a new brother.
Wouldn't be as good as Hans Gruber.
No, Hans Gruber is fucking. Got
a choice of brothers.
Well, apparently, Justin Long, who plays John McClane's geeky sidekick hacker guy in the fourth one, I was just sort of slightly rabbit holing on Rotten Tomatoes, but his highest rated ever film was 100% Rotten Tomatoes score, and his lowest rating was 0%. Now, that is a varied career.
What was his highest rated film?
What was his 100%?
For a Good Time Call.
It's only had one review, hasn't it?
It's had 5.
Huh? It's going to be some obscure indie film that, like, those are the 5 people who have seen it.
Possibly, yeah.
These reviews are from justinlong.net.
Yes. And his lowest was Strange Wilderness in 2008.
How did you get 0? How'd you make a film
and
that
that's off
bad?
44 reviews.
Oh my god.
How is a film that bad? Like, how does Studio just not go, oh, fucking cut our losses. Just cut our losses and run.
Strange Wilderness is a laugh-free comedy that's both aimless and overly crass, is the sort of the quick news about it.
Okay. All right, that doesn't sound good.
It's got Jonah Hill in it.
The only good...
Crass sounds like the opposite of what you want for a comedy.
Yeah. The only good thing about Die Hard 5 is it's got the bloke who played the Norwegian headhunter from Headhunters, and he looks quite evil. So he'll make a good bad guy.
Stop making Die Hard movies. Just go.
We've got to get to Die Hard or go home. You can Die Hard or you can go home. Fuck off, Will.i.am.
Will.i.am's
no,
really
this podcast's over now. This podcast is over now after that. Can't
is it though?
I can't carry on.
Why? What's wrong with you?
Lewis, just
what?
You can die hard or you can go home. You just
yeah. No, that's going to be the next tagline.
You've sapped.
That's what it'll be.
You've sapped my will to live.
I'll bet you $500.
No, because
Hollywood are listening and they'll be like, "Oh, he's onto something."
It probably
there.
Is going to be that.
He's going to be like, "Oh my god!" Like, you heard that? He was like talking about my song. for real. It was like,
are they, is there some kind of like internal bet in Hollywood about who can create the fucking stupidest title for a Die Hard film? Because like Die Hard with a Vengeance was pretty bad.
Hang on. I'm sorry, I just gone onto Bruce Willis's page on Rotten Tomatoes and a full page advert's come up that says NADS, beautiful skin, naturally.
Okay.
It's actually a facial wand eyebrow shaper, but it's called NADS.
Not sure I know what NADS means.
Like balls.
You're gonna wipe NADS all over your face. Yeah.
You not heard the term NADS to refer to
testes? I don't think the advertisers know.
Oh, right, no. It is NAD apostrophe S in this case, though, so maybe it belongs to Mr. or Mrs. NAD.
The face.
Belongs to an individual ball, is what you're saying.
It's NAD's beautiful skin.
Owned by someone's testy.
Hmm. That's very strange. Sorry, I'll stop browsing the web while we're doing a podcast.
It's probably two questions, I don't know. Lewis makes me want to give up, so...
What have I done?
Fucking, you could die hard or you can go home. That's just literally...
What's wrong?
Oh, I've lost the will to live at that point.
Says the man that loved the idea of Step Up Forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but that was awesome.
Okay, and he's back in the room. No. So, questions!
No, because that's called fucking like Step Up Miami Clawed Heat it now, back. And fuck that.
Exactly, that's not that's bad.
It's the name of a basketball team.
Indicative of where it takes place.
A basketball team, unless it stars LeBron James. Fuck them.
Question time.
Peter says, podcast recording in half an hour. Send us your questions, tied with TSA cast. James Love, I probably shouldn't have read that. James Love says, W/Windows Phone 8, I assume he means with. But I would say, even at the start of a sentence, if you're going to use W/, it would be a lowercase w, even at the start of a sentence. I can't help but feel. With Windows Phone 8 incorporating technologies now like DirectX, do you think it'll become the main rival to iOS for mobile gaming? No, because like no one will buy it.
And three people still code for DirectX?
Everyone still codes for DirectX, but...
I thought everyone was OpenGL these days.
No, a lot of people still code for DirectX, but... Mm. I don't think anyone owns Windows phones. It's more of the issue.
Mm.
James Love does.
It has the potential, but that potential needs to be met by an install base, and Windows Phone does not have an install base yet.
They've kind of got a catch-22.
Yeah, well, apparently they've got 2.2% market share.
Yeah,
which is down from last year. Yeah, which is awful.
They've got this horrible catch-22 where you need to get people on the platform so they'll develop for DirectX, but people will be enticed to the platform by people developing for DirectX. It's a bit of an issue, unless they just start funding shit. Well, I guess they've got studios they own, so they just do
Microsoft
that.
Microsoft as well.
Well, that's the way they launched the Xbox, wasn't it? The original Xbox, they launched it and then they bought up loads of studios.
Just buy Bungie back.
So, yeah. That's,
turn Bungie's into a Windows Phone 8 studio.
Yeah. Make Rare do it. It's not like they do fucking anything else at the minute, is it?
They make Kinect Sports Season 2 and it's actually quite a good game. Yeah. Plus the people who work there are nice.
Rare's a very talented studio, but they gave me a medal. Banjo-Kazooie anymore.
They gave me a medal when I went to Reading.
Did everyone get a medal, Chris?
No, and the hat and the water bottle.
Ah,
that's how I like them. They're nice people.
Easily pleased.
All I got from Kinect Sports was cramp.
But also they kind of were like, yeah, don't play Kinect Sports against the people who developed Kinect Sports. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So they're like. I was playing Kinect Sports Darts against the lead producer for the Kinect Sports Darts.
Did you win?
No, did not end well. It just ended with him just going 180, 180, 180. And I was like, oh, I'm probably not going to do so well here. Yeah, he kind of destroyed me. But I will say that game is very good and very realistic.
So yeah, it needs to have developers on board, and it needs an install base, and I think that it depends how they approach that. I think that what Microsoft have in terms of the live platform and achievements and all that sort of stuff will be very interesting for their games, but it all basically comes down to, can they get people to develop for it? Mm. And I think that's a question which is still up in the air somewhat, although with it being DirectX, it'll be very easy to develop for. So,
yeah,
who knows? We'll see. Very interesting over the next 12 months to see what way that goes.
Chris Clark says, three of top four commented posts this week are, don't want next gen, gamers play on mobiles more, and Jaffe says consoles will die. Kind of a discussion topic.
Okay.
I think what that says is that the visitors to the sixthaxis.com are all quite passionate console gamers that want to have their say against anything that's negative towards console gaming.
What about the visitors to sixthaxis.co.uk?
We don't own that domain, so we don't know.
Or it's not a domain, apparently. .net. .net, we should go register these domains.
Oh, are they free? They weren't free last time I checked them.
I don't know if they're free, but they're not pointing to anything. And normally, if they're taken, they're pointing to a park page.
Shit. I better go and check then.
The org. Eh. Might be worth checking. These aren't going anywhere. Just going, could not find.
Hmm.
There is, of course, tsa2.org.
Yes, there is.
Is that still a thing, or?
There's nothing on it. We don't know.
It's just the sixth axis. Just it goes back to normal. Except I'm not logged in on tsa2.org.
Probably because the way cookies work.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
There's also the sixthaxis.turkey.
You must register the sixth axis in Iceland, because then you can have the sixthaxis.
I considered that too.
Do it.
Just a six, as in number six, ax.is.
And you can use it for all your short links and just redirect to your normal page.
I considered that.
You can have your own custom short link system.
Did anyone watch the link I tweeted a couple of weeks ago to Beardy Man?
No.
You know Beardy Man?
I really enjoy his work.
There's like a 45-minute sort of show that he did. It's on YouTube, the whole of it. And he basically goes out and asks the crowd to shout out different types of music. So people are shouting out drum and bass, and he does his own sort of take on it. And then they get to indie, and he just goes, oh, indie, so fucking shit, and he goes on of a massive rant, and then he just decides to indicate just how sort of repetitive indie is, and he makes this entire indie song that's absolutely brilliant.
Cool.
And then he moves on to dubstep, and he's like, dubsteps for even younger people these days, it's full of wub wubs, and he starts doing a whole massive dubstep routine as well.
I shall look it brilliant. Up.
It's all about the drop in dubstep, though.
It is. All about the drop.
Totally about the drop.
I love dubstep.
I've made some dubstep, but I'm too scared to put it on SoundCloud in case people judge me.
Oh, send it to me.
Okay, I will. I don't know if it's your kind of dubstep, though. It's like that new one that the kids like, that sounds like Autobots masturbating.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely...
Oh, send that to me.
does it sound like someone threw a printer down some stairs?
Like a dot matrix printer.
Yeah.
I wish it did.
I'm sure that's all dubstep is.
It sounds great, though.
It really does. It really pleases my ears. I'm sorry. I know that's probably not a popular opinion.
Do you know? And I know it's not a dubstep song, but I love dubstep-style dance breaks in songs. And the one that I love at the moment that I want to just like repeat from A to B is after the chorus of Rihanna's song, Where Have You Been?
Mm.
It goes into like a dubstep dance break, and it's like, I was like, yeah, woo!
I made a
and then she starts
dubstep remix of what's her name, LaRue.
Oh
well. Yes.
Oh right,
Bulletproof.
Yes, there's a very famous.
Yeah, I was really surprised that was.
There is. Mine's quite different.
Part of the Judge Dredd thing
before. Well, I started making mine, and then I found that, and I was like, oh, what is the point?
By a man called Crispy, I believe.
Mm.
That's the other thing. Dubstep sounds like. Sounds
mine's
like
totally better.
Sounds like 56k modems.
You know who is really good that I can particularly enjoy right now is that French guy Madian. Are you familiar with him?
No.
No.
I'll send you this mashup thing that he did. It's brilliant.
Anyway, do we have these
so off topic
questions?
Sorry, I'm just securing domain names.
All right. Are they actually free?
Yeah.
Awesome. Someone go read the forum questions out.
I've got them up.
All right, Kev, what's going on?
Okay.
It's all right. I'm just going to pick out a couple of the best ones.
Wait. So this can blend seamlessly. So, like, no one will fucking notice, right? It's all good. No one's going to notice this. Teflon says, did you get my question in the forums?
Yes, we did.
Boom. Seamless.
Motilla says, what is your opinion? I'm just kidding. It's a funny joke that I made. All right. Teflon's question to us and the listeners is, did you know that there are millions of native English-speaking people around the world that have been taught the spelling of dilemma wrong? Often, irrespective of their place of birth or the land where they were raised, they spell it with an N replacing the second M. So, dilemna. They still pronounce it correctly, hopefully.
That doesn't make sense.
Just
who spells it like that?
I don't know. He's got no sources to back up his claims, so...
Lies. I think Teflon's just making up fucking stories.
That's made up. All right, so yeah.
That's what we're accusing you of, Teflon. You're making up stories.
Motala, who is only his 8th post in the forums, so hello and welcome. Although he's been a member since December the 9th last year. Anyway.
Lurker.
Somewhat of a lurker. He does, in his avatar, have a knife in his mouth. Like a flamenco dancer
like
might,
a commando
or
crawl.
Like a flamenco dancer might hold a rose. Anyway.
Or like a Navy SEAL might hold a hunting knife.
Yeah. He says, what is your opinion, this is probably more one for Chris, on British comic book artist and author Don Lawrence? Series such as The Rise and Fall of the Trigon Empire and Storm?
Haven't read any of them.
Oh.
I haven't read every comic book.
What?
So. Well, that can be your specialist subject for next week.
Yeah. He hasn't read them all, but they're all sitting in his bedroom ready to go.
He's got them all, sure. Just it's a large back catalogue to work through.
I do have all the comics. It's just a case of finding time to read them. Yeah.
Okay, we just made that joke.
Yeah. I was backing the joke up and confirming your joke.
Well, it sounded like you were, you know, repeating yourself, and no one likes a repeater, so.
So, Solid Steven says, will TSA be reviewing.
Oh, God, just skip
Dawn
it.
Guard? No, I've skipped all his normal. I'm just going straight to the. Will TSA be reviewing Dawn Guard, the TES Skyrim expansion?
Possibly. If. Bethesda will probably send it to us and will probably want us to review it. We might review it, but we might not because they have just purchased advertising with us.
Oh, yes.
So we might put it out to
a
freelancer or something.
That appear to be overly biased if that's the case.
I'll do it.
Okay.
I don't do it.
Review it. I absolutely regret my words.
Review it and.
Seeing as my Skyrim's broke and I don't own an Xbox, it's going to be a long time.
Review it and just put on Skyrim. Put on Screen Demon, just really confuse people.
I put on Half Tone Hero. How about that?
God. Could do with something there.
Let's split it. Like, do the first paragraph on Screen Demon, the score on Half Tone Hero, and the pictures on Six Axis.
Yeah. This Six Axis is just too. To what we call drop images, which are like the embedded images you get in the post. And then just the gallery at the bottom. That's all there is on TSA.
Yeah.
No text.
Okay. Haslam says, for the second or third time, not that I'm mad. I don't understand. Anyway, she also says, do you have a favourite literary character?
Sherlock Holmes is the best literary character.
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Harry Potter.
Harry Potter's not literature. Fucking slap that down.
I do have to say Sherlock Holmes or I like Alex Cross.
Who's he from? What's he in?
That's even less.
All of James Patterson's books.
Isn't that less literature than Harry Potter?
What counts as literature? Surely
no,
literature
how
is
dare
books.
You?
you with your definitions. I think my favourite literary character is a character called Ben Holiday, who stars in Terry Brooks' series of books, which start with Magic Kingdom for Sale Sold. He just plays an everyman kind of character who stumbles upon like a Friday ad thing for a Magic Kingdom and buys it, and it actually is a Magic Kingdom. It's really good. It's a book for adults.
I think I've read that.
It's a blooming good read.
It's not new, though, actually, is it?
No. It's like 80s, I think.
Yeah, I think I might have read that years ago.
Mm. Possibly Sam...
Gollum!
Sam Vimes from the Discord series. I always quite enjoy books with him in.
I don't know if this really counts because he's only been in like two or three books, but there's a guy, character called Hank Chinaski, that is the alter ego of Charles Bukowski in a lot of his books.
Mm.
I quite like because he's kind of a mess.
Easy to empathise with.
Yeah, pretty much. He's kind of an alcoholic mess. I kind of like him, but also maybe Rincewind from the Terry Pratchett novels.
Mm.
Yeah.
He's entertaining.
Yeah, I just kind of like Sam Vimes more than Rincewind, but...
Mm.
Rincewind kind of... I like Rincewind, but after a while, he kind of feels a little bit one-dimensional.
Yeah, I can see that.
Man,
we own so many of the Sixth Axis domain names.
Oh, what do we own now?
Info.net.org.co.uk.
We have net. We have net.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think net was available.
It's the best one.
You should do .co.jp and then run the entire site through Google Translate and just put it up.
We probably actually should do that for like South Korea and China.
Mm.
Yeah. What else can we get? Just buy. Can you get the Iceland one?
Well, was it really expensive?
Can you get the .is from Iceland, or is that like really expensive?
Not through my traditional host. Where would you get that from?
Oh, I'll have to look
at an Icelandic hosting service.
Go next.
That's it.
Move
that's
on.
It. That's all I'm willing to read from this sordid
Bye.
Place.
When1domain.com has it. Fuck that. It's well expensive. It's like $136 for a year.
What?
What?
What? What?
Yeah, maybe not then.
Let's not do that. That's just a nice joke. Let's not buy it for that much.
All right, that's it.
So hopefully by the time you listen to this, you'll be able to go to all those various ways of getting to TSA now.
Yeah.
God, it's going to make your job at the end of a podcast
just,
so
just
much
just don't
difficult.
Go to .net. For the love
you
of
can
God,
get us at thesixasses.com, thesixasses.co.uk, thesixasses.org.
We don't know what's at .net. There's something there, but it's a dark, dark place.
That's Peter's other website. The Sex Axis. Although he spelled it properly.
It was a typo. He meant to register the Sex Axis originally. It would have to be the sixth.
I did when that Google search thing, the voice search where you could just talk to your phone and it would search for it, came out. I downloaded the app and tried on that, and I searched for the sixth axis, and it came up and said, did you search for sex, sex, sex?
Nice.
And I was like, no, I didn't. But
well, I didn't, but now you mention it.
Well, go on anyway. We'll see what happens.
apparently the sixthaxis.net is unavailable because we already own it.
Maybe talk to Al about that one.
It just doesn't actually point at TSA. Yeah, because it's registered to Oscar Mike Media Limited.
Shit, that means I've registered it. Yeah. I wonder where I've registered
you
that.
You own that domain.
Because the Whois record says, yep, sickvaxxers.net. Yeah, Peter owns it. Oh. Apparently, Vida host.
Maybe I have just bought that then.
Vida host? That sounds Icelandic if ever I heard it.
Definitely says you own it.
Oh, cool.
Record last updated 21st of June 2012. So yeah, you did just buy it and just didn't notice.
Okay.
Wow, that did update quickly.
Peter's buying domain names and not even noticing it.
Yeah,
that's a bit weird.
co.uk.info.net.org and .com.
So yeah, go at any of those and you get to TSA now. Just make one of them point somewhere else.
What about .wap? Do we still have WAP?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
There must be more domain names we need to own.
Should we stop doing a podcast? Or
I don't know, I'm busy talking about domain names now.
Let's
listen
go.
This is Maddie and Trek. It's awesome. You have been listening to episode 67.
No, wait. Before we go, there's an important thing, Peter, and I need to confirm. This is very important.
Do what?
There's an important thing. It needs to be confirmed. Peter and I would like to confirm that we have got our press passes for Eurogamer Expo.
Sweet.
So that's all confirmed.
Is that the only two that they're allowing the site to get now?
They've tweaked their registration rules this year, so it's two per site per day.
Boo.
Are you still getting a house in Hackney?
I believe Peter has to answer that question.
Probably somewhere.
We found a way better. We found a way better house this year, didn't we?
Yeah, we found a nice apartment, but that was weeks ago. It might be booked by now.
Fuckers.
There's no telling. We'll see whenever we've got money.
And the lottery still refuses to give me any money, so...
That's well out of order.
Just not trying hard enough.
Bastards.
Oh, Chris has emerged from his sock.
You're still in a sock, Kev, so it's fine. Yeah, that was the podcast. You've been listening to it. Whatever. Say goodbye, everybody. That's how we end.
Bye.
Say goodbye.
Bye.